Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Joining us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Jeff Schimmel, Athletic Director, Commissioner. He held the post of running the director of the NCAA tournaments when he was here. Now he works for a group that goes out and finds coaches and administrators for big-time colleges. And holy cow, has that changed in terms of what people are looking for and where coaches want to go. He joins Pete Najarian and I now in the huddle. Jeff, always good to visit with you. Thanks for giving us some time.
Good to be with you.
What was your take of this last couple of weeks? Where, you know, Deion Sanders is involved in the conversation, and Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. I mean, is this just the tip of the iceberg now? As programs start to, you know, it seems like things are going to change here pretty quick in terms of what coaches are looking for, in terms of how they go about their recruiting. What are you seeing from where you sit?
Well, I definitely think it's a symptom of the times we're living in and the uncertainty, especially surrounding name, image, and likeness, and what are the rules, what can you do, what can't you do. I think what you saw with the SEC this week and with Jackson State is that there is uncertainty about how to go about it, and it has always been the desire of the NCAA and most of the collegiate network that this not be used as a recruiting tool. And that's exactly what's happening in many cases, and I think that's the crux of what's going on here. That the NCAA just has lacked leadership in this area and has not provided a really good map for how to do this.
You know, Jeff, I totally agree with you, and I think that's where the problem really starts. Is there is no map. There is no absolute rules out there. And as a matter of fact, one thing I would correct Jimbo Fisher on was, I don't, at least unless I missed this, I never heard Nick Saban said he broke a rule, which is what he was standing on. He just was appalled by the fact that he thought that they bought every single player that they got. And so that was seemed to be the real argument, not accusing him of breaking the rules. But Jim, or Jeff rather, what is the deal? How do we read the rule as it is right now? What NIL really means as far as recruitment and so forth? Is there anything really in ink right now that we can actually lean on?
Well, the guidelines do say that universities are not to use it, not to entice people to come to schools with the promise of NIL money. That is a guideline that is out there. I think that what has happened is that if you talk to enforcement at the NCAA, they don't know where to start in trying to enforce these guidelines. And every state, well, not every state, but many states have their own laws. And so when you're running up against state laws and you're having to abide by them as well as the guidelines, those conflict all the time. And so it is what I would call a mess. It certainly is the wild, wild west when it comes time to determining how you do things and trying to stay within the rules. I do think most coaches are trying to not use it as a recruiting tool, and the competitiveness that comes out in those guys has a tendency to show you what happened with Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. So I think it's, again, until we get clarity, it's going to continue. It's uncontrollable right now.
You know, Jeff, along those lines, though, and I've never quite understood it, let's just say, you know, and you know, I mean, the three of us have, we've known a lot of coaches, and they are, as you put, ultra-competitive, and there's millions of dollars at stake here, so you tell me what, you know, what's going to happen. But can a coach bring a player in, and he can't talk about the NIL opportunities maybe, but he's going to let the guy that's getting the most NIL opportunities give this kid a tour or have lunch with him. Can a student athlete to a recruit say, hey, here's what I'm getting? You know what I'm saying? Are they held to the same standard? Is it only the coaches that can't, and the current student athletes, can they in essence recruit because they're not technically the coach?
Well, I think the guidelines would tell you that once you have an athlete on your campus, you're free to help them with their NIL stuff, but you can't recruit to it. So that becomes the biggest issue. I think most are the collectives that are now happening. Every school, every major school is trying to put some collectives together where donors, boosters, ticket holders are people that pool their money, and then in some fashion, that whether it's appearance money or signing autographs or appearing at a business, all those things, again, are used to justify the money that they're paying the student athletes. So it's again, that's how it's supposed to work. It's just right now the enticement part, and it's, you know, the other part of this that we haven't talked about is the transfer portal. And
we haven't even got to that yet. Yeah.
Yeah. The transfer portal it's amazing how many student athletes are getting in the transfer portal and asking that first question: how much NIL money can I get at this school?
So Jeff, you know, I was going to jump right to that. And then you went to the transfer portal, which really caught my attention because, you know, I take a look at what's going on at USC right now, and boy, are they making some changes in a hurry. And I don't know how much of it is related necessarily to NIL or not, but they got Jordan Addison, who was, you know, the Biletnikoff Award winner out of Pitt. They grabbed him up pretty quick, along with Caleb Williams, the quarterback. So they are moving pretty quickly out there at USC under Lincoln Riley. We're seeing that happen. Is there any kind of a limit at this point in time for NIL money? I don't know the answer to that myself. That's why I have to ask you. I don't know if there is, but is there any limit to what they could be paid?
Absolutely not. There is absolutely no limit. And there's the advantage for a place like USC in a city like L.A. The money that's there, the Hollywood money, the opportunities that are there are immeasurable. So if I were those guys, I'd be taking advantage of it as well.
Jeff, are coaches now, that as we go forward with this, you place a lot of coaches and athletic directors. Do you think it's going to change what they're looking for in a marketplace and where they want to work? It's going to be based a lot on access to NIL money?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. I think, quite frankly, many of my old colleagues are worn out about all this, and I think are trying to figure out ways without many answers these days, and the headaches that come with it. And we're, in many, many cases, they're already fighting a financial battle from an operational perspective. So this just compounds the problem and the headaches that are coming. And the transfer portal is, again, a good example of this. Schools with, you know, you could have your five starting basketball players all in the portal and not know where to go. And Pete, I'm sure you know this, but the NCAA just waived the 25 scholarship limit for an incoming class mostly because of the transfer portal, because you don't know what you're going to end up with at the end of the year. So now you can sign more than 25 on a football team, and that has been a 30-year rule in our business.
Yeah.
Well, and is that limitless? That would be my first question.
It is limitless. Absolutely. There is no limit on the number of football players you can sign in Division One now.
So that's the old Ohio State, Oklahoma days when, you know, they'd sign guys that they figured would be third teamers. They just didn't want them at Minnesota or anywhere else sometimes, right?
Yep, and they can shoot. It's a great way to try out kids. You can sign 35, and if 10 of them aren't any good, you can cut them.
See, it really is the NFL, Maxie. That's why you, as we were talking about just before you came on, Jeff, we were talking about the USFL and the XFL, and do we need those kind of leagues to kind of fit, you know, sort of be the next semi-pro to go into the NFL, USFL and the XFL, and do we need those kind of leagues to kind of fit, you know, sort of be the next semi-pro to go into the NFL? We already have it. We have it at the college level. Would you want to be the commissioner of the SEC right now, given the fact that you've got Jimbo Fisher, you've got Nick Saban, Spurrier even chimed in?
Well, interesting you should say that. Greg Sankey, who is the commissioner, is a very good friend of mine, and he's fighting the battle every day. And, of course, compound that with the controversy over bringing in Oklahoma and Texas into the league and what's going to happen there. So it's great that he's worth every penny he's making right now.
Well, the commissioners have the toughest job, though. They're going to have to referee all these coaches. Not that they hadn't before, but they used to work a lot on referees, and you know, there'd be a bad call at the end of the game and whatnot. And TV contracts, they're going to have to referee, right, Jeff?
Oh, for sure. And you know, the biggest attraction there is the TV money, of course, and the pressure there. Maybe not the SEC because they're the most lucrative right now, but the Pac-12, the ACC, and now the Big 12, as they re-expand, the TV money is the most critical piece.
Maxie, can we still talk to Jeff about this?
Can you stay for a quick break, Jeff? We just got a couple more questions for you. Can you stay with us for a quick break?
Sure. Happy to.
Too good not to. Jeff Schemmel is our guest. Yeah. We're talking NIL and the changing landscape of college sports when we come back. Welcome back to the huddle. Jeff Schemmel, our guest, Mike Max, Pete Najarian, talking about NIL money, transfer portal, and the changing state of college athletics like we've never seen it before in any era because of what's available. Jeff, when coaches coach now, obviously, I mean, they're going to really have to be dialed in with this transfer portal with their kids and have a relationship because, you know, most kids are going to think they deserve more playing time and more status. That comes with the territory. But how does that change the way coaches coach now when they bring a player in as a freshman and he may not be a first teamer until he's a senior the way they project him, but they do value him and they want him in? I mean, are coaches worried sick about this? Are they communicating different? Do assistant coaches do more one-on-one contact so they stay more in touch with how this kid's feeling? How is that changing the way coaches go about their business?
Well, I think the good coaches already, it's very, very, very important to have good relationships off the field with their kids so that you create an environment that is a family. And that's the part that I think if you're not getting the playing time you thought you might, that might keep you there. But I'm telling you, it is a contagious thing these days with the transfer portal. It's not just playing time. It's also NIL money. Guys that are just saying, hey, I'm a graduate of Kansas State. So that's a small college town that's not going to have opportunities that maybe even a KU that's just right next to Kansas City, or as Pete and I talked about, USC. They're just not going to be that many opportunities, and that's what kids are looking for these days.
Jeff, that's exactly where I wanted to go with the next question, which is, okay, so we've got this in place. We've got NIL money. We've got portals. We've got all of this, but is this going to really turn into the haves versus the have-nots, those that have the kind of money that we know they have? Maybe it's Ohio State and Michigan in the Big Ten. Maybe it's Alabama, whatever it is. But doesn't that just give that much more of a tilt where a place like Minnesota probably doesn't have the kind of folks that are going to reach into their pockets for those millions and millions and millions of dollars that we hear about all the time? Is that just going to change the entire landscape of the winners and the losers?
I don't think there's any question about that, Pete. The rich are going to get richer, and I think it also is going to have a tendency to separate the Power Five from the rest. And quite frankly, Minnesota, even though they're probably at a disadvantage in some respects with the Ohio States and the Michigans, they probably got an advantage over the Purdue's of the world in NIL space because of the Twin Cities. So it is going to be very interesting, but I say this all the time. It will, at least until we get some controls, it's going to be the wild, wild west.
Last question, Jeff. If somebody's, you've counseled a lot of people that go into the coaching profession or the administration profession. For those kids coming out of college right now and they say, you know, Jeff, I want to kind of take the road that you traveled or something similar, or I want to be a coach. Would you discourage, encourage, or what would you tell them?
I still love what I do. So, if you have a passion for athletics, particularly in my case, college athletics, I think it's still a wonderful way to go. And so I know it's harder today. ADs are making a lot more money than I ever made these days. So there is some value there, and the good ones are gonna be successful.
Jeff, appreciate it very much. Thanks so much for giving us some time and some clarification. Always enjoy visiting with you.
Thank you
anytime,
so much.
Anytime, guys. Take care. You got it, Pete. Thank you.
Pete, what's your takeaway?
Oh, my goodness, man. Where do I start? this is something that I know you and I talked about a lot, Maxie, early on when we first started.
Yeah, I think that conversation, though, just heightened how much more drastic it's now going to become.
Absolutely. But it's a lot of what I know, and I'm not trying to say, hey, we told you so, but we did tell you so. We talked about the idea of the haves, the have-nots, the NIL money, and all of that, and then throw in the transfer portal, which – I get it, Maxie, and I understand it, and I think that that's a little bit more comfortable for me than all of the NIL money and how it really works and the separation that's going to give certain, academic institutions, obviously, and the recruitment process. There is no way I would ever back down from saying, you know what, Texas A&M did buy all those guys because they did.
right. And they don't need to apologize for it.
No, because there is
because
no
they said, here's
rules.
What they told us we could do.
Yeah. So it isn't like he did break rules. And that's what Jimbo said. Well, I didn't break any rules. And he said, I did. He never said that. But when you look back at what he and Saban and the big fight that escalated into something bigger, and hopefully they can get that tamped down a little bit. These guys used to be friends at one point.
They were coaches together at LSU.
Yeah. So they know each other pretty well. But, I can understand the frustration because, even though Nick Saban has an incredible ability to recruit and obviously the unbelievable facilities and everything that Alabama brings, the recent history for sure is a big, big deal. But you can see his frustration because it's like there are coaches that are jumping the shark, so to speak. And I think Jimbo was a great example of this. And by the way, it was not just Nick Saban. There's been a lot of people after that, the draft or not drafted. Well, it is basically a draft, but
yeah,
signing
draft
day for these college players. After that, everybody started scratching their head going, how did Texas A&M get all of those top end recruits? Well, we all know exactly what the answer is now. And you don't think everybody else is going to jump on board that can afford to jump on board onto that bandwagon? They absolutely will. No doubt.
Well, yeah, and it's they're not going to be able to hide. Coaches can't recruit to it. And in the day of the internet, you don't think these kids are going to find out in 3 minutes how much money the kids at A&M are going when they're looking at a college to go to? I mean, maybe they can't technically recruit to it, but everybody's going to know exactly what guys are getting and what the potential income is.
Yeah, the Pandora's box is open. I don't think it's something that could ruin it. Could ruin it, but if smart people like Jeff and others could get together and say, all right, let's hold back a little bit. Let's make some changes. This has to have some specific rules, some guidelines. If they could ever get to that point, Maxie, I think we'd be okay. And that was probably the original intent of this whole thing, not to just go out there and basically buy 25 players that are coming out of high school.
Absolutely. Interesting conversation. We'll continue it in the final hour of the Huddle coming up next. Mike, Max, Pete, Nigerian, on News Talk 830 WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.